Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God, and we're probably in session 23 or so of our Sacred Purpose Trust course. And what's a Sacred Purpose Trust? What the heck is that? It has to do with the ancient altars, the secrets of society and of the universe since time began. And we're going to talk a little bit today about the anatomy of the Kingdom of God, this bizarre thing that is talked about in the Bible, the Kingdom of God, the Kingdom of Heaven, is from generation to generation. What do they mean? Is there structure to it? Is it organized? Well, the fact is, if you look out in the universe, everything is organized. It's organized in a fractal imagery, but yet organized. I mean, you've got two arms, five fingers on each hand, two legs. You'll find that pattern throughout the world in creatures. You know, four-legged and two-legged creatures, they're still, you know, they mammals have the same kind of backbone you do. Now, you'll find variations, such as you'll find some animals with, their invertebrates and vertebrates, and we categorize all these things. But there's certain structures in all these species, certain patterns that keep reproducing themselves, because they're organized. That is the way the universe operates. It's a very orderly and organized system. We look about and we think of it as chaos, but that's usually because we lack the understanding of what's really going on. And in our shows on quantum and string theory, we talk about the fact that there are two realms in the universe that we live in. Two extra parallel universes that actually overlap each other. One is called hell and the other is called heaven. But somehow they're separated, but not by distance, but by dimension. So if you pull back the veil like they talk about in the Bible, and you see thousands of people, if you're pulling back the veil of heaven, you see these thousands of people as the prophets talk about. And you'll hear a lot of other New Agers talk about it and everything, that there's somebody, even scientists are saying that there could be a whole universe with people living in it parallel to our own. And of course, that's exactly what heaven is. And there's another whole universe, parallel dimension, whatever you want to call it, exactly like our own, overlapping the same place that we are in one sense, but yet in another place in a dimensional sense. If you pull back the veil to that, you'll see hell. You'll see what's going on there. And of course, most of people, when they supposedly visit these places, some just visit in their imagination, but even if they were to actually go to these places and they would come back and try to tell you what they saw, like dreams, they will fill in the objects of their impressions, their vision, because they're not really seeing with physical eyes, with physical reality references. You know, they'll talk about a fire, or they'll talk about, you know, pain and suffering, and they'll describe it, you know, like Dante's Inferno, of what that pain and suffering is like. Or if they go to heaven, then they talk about all the good things and niceness and everything. But, you know, these are impressions of somebody who may be on their deathbed or, you know, or in a terrible accident, and they have these visions. Their brain interprets and translates those visions, and then it draws them a picture so that they can relate what they saw to somebody else. But it may not be. If somebody's in an event, you know, like they have people rush into a room and supposedly commit a crime and rush out, and they're all actors and they all have a script and they're doing, but the people that were in the room weren't prepared to see them, and so it was a traumatic event for them. And then you take all these people aside and you question them about what they saw. They have remarkably different explanations of what they saw. And you video the whole thing so you can go back and say, you said you saw this person do this and this person do this. Here's the video. What do you see now? And they go, oh my gosh, I didn't think that's what I saw. I thought I saw this other thing. Because the brain fills in what it does not see clearly. And so you have people go supposedly in some sort of afterlife or down the tunnel and all that stuff, and they come back and they're going to tell you about heaven and hell. Well, maybe they're accurate. Maybe they made a lot of stuff up just to fill in the blanks. I'm not saying they didn't go or whatever. I couldn't prove it one way or the other. But what are they really seeing? How will you know? You know, there's a famous show that was put on, I think it was Outer Limits or Twilight Zone or something like that. And a guy dies and he thinks he's in heaven, and he gets everything he wants. You know, he wants whiskey, he got whiskey, he got girls, he got girls, he got play cards. You know, he wants to win at cards, he wins. I don't want to always win all the time. He says, okay, you want to lose, we can lose all the time. No, I want to, he doesn't like the fact that everything he wants, he gets. And finally, he says, what kind of heaven is this? And the butler says, heaven? What heaven? Who said you were in heaven? You know, your impression, you know, this guy's going to have everything he wants forever and ever and ever and ever, and then there's no challenge. It destroys him, and he can't stand it. And he finally opts out for the other place, the one with all the fire and flame. Somebody recently put something on the internet, and I saw it recently. It may have been on for a while, and he talks about heaven and a fire that consumes and a fire that doesn't consume and all this. And that's exactly what it's like. You're caught between these two realms in what we call the physical universe. This is the string theory. And you've got this realm over here, this membrane theory, this veiled universe on one side. And you have a veiled universe on the other side. And one of them you call heaven and one of them you call hell. And you're caught in between in this physical universe that is stretched. The string theory stretched between these two things and gives substance to our existence. And scientists, they know that in the quantum, that there's some sort of energy that is relational, interacts between two objects, and they measure this, and you know, they come up with Planck's theorem and the value of H. And they say, you know, they measure all this. And they see evidence of these other realms. You know, they poke holes in it with explosions, you know, and collisions and on an atomic level, and they see electrons appear and disappear. So they say, where are they coming from? They're coming from this other realm. Okay, so now if you're in the physical universe, and let's equate it to a dark room or a room that is not really filled with light, so that there's a contrast. And outside the room, there is light. And if you poke holes like somebody shooting bullets through the wall, poke holes through the veil, you'll see light coming, streaming in to the room. If you shot holes into hell, you would have light coming in to where you're at now. If you shot holes into heaven, if you could do this, we're just doing this as an analogy, you would see light coming from there. So what's the difference? I mean, because, you know, Lucifer's known as the light bearer. It appears as an angel of light. So he has light too. And so then, you know, heaven has it, talk about, I am the light, Christ says. But Lucifer says, I am the light. So which one is the light? Which one is the light you want? Which one has the light that is compatible with your heart? That's a trick question, so don't answer it. So anyway, so what is this light? Hell has the fire that consumes. Heaven has the light that gives life. This is the difference. In hell, you have dog-eat-dog pecking order, authority over authority over authority. They have order. They have order in hell. It's not chaos. But it's order according to a particular design, which compared to heaven is chaos. Appears to be chaos because it's dog eat dog, and you have this one on top and then things shift around. Heaven, it works just the opposite. But there's order in both places, and both places are ordered according to a design. So when the God of heaven comes down and talks to a prophet or reveals something to a prophet, you know, like Peter or Job or Enoch, he's going to impart information according to a particular design, anatomy, organize reality. And if Satan comes and he inspires somebody, anti-divinely inspires somebody, he's going to give them an orderly image according to a particular design. And so you want to see, which design am I compatible with? Because you're going to be drawn near that which you are compatible with. You're going to be pulled. You remember the universe we live in, the physical universe, the string theory, the stretched. We're stretched between these two membranes. And this gives us a physical reality. So which one are you being pulled towards? Which one are you compatible with? They both have light, but one light consumes because it's the dog-eat-dog pecking order, rule over society, system, organization. And the other one is this one that giveth life, from which all creation originally came. So which one are you compatible with? Are you one who gives life, or are you one who wants to be a part of a pecking order? A dog-eat-dog, rule one over the other. Remember, Christ said we were not to be like the governments of the world who exercise authority one over the other, but yet call themselves benefactors. We have light. We have benefits that we're going to bring you. But we do it by exercising authority, pecking order, over here in hell. Or are we going to do it out of love, cooperation, an anarchical system, no ruler, but righteousness? So which one are we going to be a part of? Which one are we drawn towards? Which one do we like? Which one are we compatible with? Which one do we love? Which one speaks to our heart and which one does not? So we get to make that choice, and we have this lifetime in which to make it in. And we make that choice every day when we relate to other people, that interaction. And that's the quantum. The type of interaction that we have with others is going to shape and mold us, and therefore it will shape and mold society. And therefore society will take on the characteristic of either God or Satan. So in your society, is there a pecking order? Do men rule over other men, exercise authority one over the other? Well, then that society is born out of hell. It's born out of the character of Satan. It's not born out of love. Now, of course, we'll say, well, wait a minute, when we had the Constitution, that was what we set up. No, that isn't what you set up when they set up the Constitution. Although there was an element of that in the Constitution, the people weren't even a party to it. They didn't even vote on it, had nothing to do with them. But now it does, because the people have joined the system. They have applied for the benefits. They have prayed at those civic altars of benefaction. And what should have been for their welfare has become a snare. They have sat and ate with rulers, and they did not put a knife to their throat, as the Bible tells you, because their pastors have been blown away by the wind. They aren't really pastors of Christ. They are pastors of Satan. They are the synagogue of Satan. They have led you back into bondage, into the pecking order world of authority over another. Because you have gone another way. You have deleted part of the anatomy of the structure of man as he was created by God. You were created in the image of God, but you've been remade in a new image minus certain of the characteristics that God offered you. Absence. Remember, light is the absence. Darkness is the absence of light. And so you are without some of the characteristics of God. What characteristics are most commonly missing in Satan compared to God? He's not very forgiving. He's not very giving. He's a taker. He only gives away what he can take from others. He's like Nimrod. Nimrod was a mighty provider instead of the Lord. It says hunter, but the word there is normally translated provisions. Cain was like Nimrod. Lamech was like Nimrod. How do these men who exercise authority get into the position that they're in? They find people that are compatible with their spirit. People who like the pecking order. they don't mind if they're ruled over as long as they get to rule over somebody else. Like the movie with Danny Kaye. Can't remember what the name of it was. It doesn't really matter. But, a ruler smacks the mayor, and the mayor smacks the chief of police, and the chief of police smacks his chief guard, and the chief guard smacks a peasant, and the peasant turns around and hits the goat. Pecking order. Not kingdom of heaven. That's from hell. Now, it gets worse. That's a little funny analogy, but it gets worse than that, and you actually end up with millions of people killing millions of people. Ruthlessly murdering 60 million people in order to establish your church. Not Christ Church, your church. And then that church, of course, will fight amongst itself, and then they'll divide off, and they'll have a bunch of protesters who start lots of other little churches, but they are all fashioned after the image of the one that had started by killing millions of people. It actually didn't start there. It started way back with Constantine. But it's been around, see, even longer before. It starts back with Cain and Nimrod. And there's a spirit in there that you're willing to give somebody else power to decide for you if they will give you some power so you can rule over somebody else. So you have your little universe of, people you can smack, rule over, control. And then you get, you will adore this guy if these guys will adore you. I see this in almost every church out there. Your pastors, this is the spirit that they bring to church. This is the spirit you bring to church because you put him up on that dang pedestal to begin with. Just like you have done from the beginning, like with Saul. Remember Saul? They elected Saul. The voice of the people wanted Saul, even though they were told that he's going to end up taken and taken and taken and taken, and you're going to cry out someday, and I will not hear you. They said, give us this king anyway. Well, you do the same thing when you go down to the doctor's office. You say, doctor, tell me what to put in my mouth. Tell me what to inject it. They just came out with a story from the AMA is saying that thousands of people were treated for cancer who did not have cancer. Because the way in which they calculate this was wrong. With the Justina case, we pointed out exactly what's going on. When they were writing manual, diagnostic manual number 4, they determined that with certain diagnostic techniques, you would determine that somebody had this problem, such as somatoform. Well, they were writing a new manual, and the guy who was the head of the chair for writing the old manual says the new guys, unless something is done, they're going to make tens of thousands of people mentally ill simply by changing the diagnostic manual. And of course, that's why Justina is being tortured to death right in front of your eyes. And you get all worked up about it when you see Glenn Beck, but she's still in there. When they call for protesters, 10, 20, maybe 50 people show up, and the people laugh at them. So what's that? Why doesn't, you're in Boston. You can't get 50,000 people to show up to save one girl from being tortured to death, crippled for life by Satan's forces, and you don't show up. Why? Because you're compatible with Satan. Because you don't want to get organized. Now, I'm not talking about organized from the top down. You remember Nimrod in Babylon? They talk about hanging gardens. Now, where did this idea, hanging gardens of Babylon? That's top-down benefits. You give everything to Nimrod, and he trickles down benefits to you. That's the hanging gardens of Babylon. That's what you got now. And see, Justina was swept up in that. I mean, their parents pray at those altars, and they found out, wait a minute, these altars want to sacrifice my daughter. That's what's going on, folks. That's what's going on. Sacrificial lamb. That's the Marleduke. Just like Marmaduke, the cartoon, sacrifices the children. What you see when children are murdered in the wombs or out of the wombs and abused, and how many children died in Massachusetts? I mean, we know of at least a couple that died there, supposedly under the custody and control of that, but I can tell you that I'll lay odds it's far more. How many are tortured? How many are crippled emotionally and mentally? Many. You couldn't even figure, because they say, oh, no, we're doing a good job. Okay. Why? Because you have the Saul syndrome. You've given them the power of Saul. And that power has corrupted him. What'd you expect was going to happen? Happens with your lawyers, happens with the AMA, it happens with your politicians, because you're not moving according to the Spirit of God. You're not a giver of life. Oh, you are a little bit, and I'm not going to completely pick on you, but it's not enough. You have to repent and change your ways. Now, how do you do that? What is it now that the Satan doesn't do? He doesn't forgive, and he doesn't give. How come it's difficult for people to form congregations of giving? Because that guy over there makes me so mad. That guy over there doesn't have my opinion of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Or that guy over there doesn't have the words that I use when I talk about the blood of Jesus Christ. I want him to say exactly what I say because I want to know that we're buddies. So I'm not going to gather with them. And I could give you a lot of other pettier things that the people do that divide them. But that's not what congregations are about. It's about becoming the bottom-up benefits. Not the top-down like you have in Babylon, but the bottom-up. Now, the way it works is you look out amongst yourself and you find friends of righteousness. And if you're a friend of righteousness, now you're his friend because you both love righteousness. You can say we both love God. But it's the righteous God because there are God's many and then they're not all righteous. So what does that look like? You gather together. You look, find men you trust. This is what it says in the New Testament. This is what Abraham was saying. This is what Moses was saying. And they become the altars of stone. They individually are living stones of this altar of society. We're talking structure here. Now, if you go back in the Bible, they talk about altars of earth, altars of Adama. You're made of Adama. You're the altar of earth. Every family is an altar of earth. Every family should be helping their neighbor. Helping, you see somebody with a flat tire, an old lady, you go and help her. You see a blind guy crossing the street, as a good scout, you help them. That sacrifice is a sacrifice on your altar of clay. That's between you and that person you helped and God. Because God sees that. When you see that, giving up your time to give life to others, to help others, that draws you near God. The word in the Hebrew for offer is the word, same word, for drawing near. It draws you near the kingdom of heaven, because that is part of the character of the kingdom of heaven. You will not find in hell, in the kingdom of Satan. You will not find them helping blind people across the road. You'll find them laughing when they stumble, because they're about authority. They're about power. They're about pecking order. They're not giving their seat to anybody. They're in this for themselves and their immediate master, who gives them power to rule over the one, you know, the goat they want to kick. So, that's an altar of clay when you help others. That's part of the structure of the kingdom of God. When the blood is pumped through your veins, it carries with it food and oxygen. The red blood cells carry food and oxygen to feed the cells of your body, the flesh of your body. They give life to the flesh. They carry in this cell this extra food and extra oxygen, and they give it. And they take the debris away from the cell, and they carry it out. They bring it out to the flow, and it's filtered into the liver and eventually passed out of the body. They work diligently. Millions upon millions of cells are striving, working every day to keep you alive. Structure in the whole body is doing this, working to keep you alive. When your spirit is more compatible with Satan, you expect disease because you'll expect your body to malfunction. And we are riddled with disease, which is why we get old and die. Because we've turned our back on the tree of life and tried to decide for ourselves what was right and what was wrong. So how do we get back to that character of God? We have to go back and practice the ways of God. When God gave life, he gave life all over the place. That is in his nature. And if you are made in his image, you should be giving life all over the place. But how do you do that? Because in the system, if something goes wrong, if your body produces a cancerous cell, Your system is designed to destroy that cancerous cell. Not give life to the cancer, but to destroy the cancer. But many times your body gives life to the cancer because that spirit dwelleth in you. You need a body that repels that which is corrupted, excudes and excretes that which is corrupted, and it all go out in the drop. That's the kind of body you want. That character comes from over there on the side of the kingdom of heaven, the givers of life. And that's what you need to align yourself. So how do you draw near? Again, what's the word in the Hebrew language for draw near? That we translate into what? Offering. Where is that offering? That's something you give up, but not necessarily directly to somebody who will appreciate it. You give it up to somebody else who will give it to somebody you don't even know. The red button principle. This is part of the structure of the kingdom of God. And we'll have to talk about that when we come back. How does that work? How do I draw near the kingdom of God where life comes from and draw away from the part of Satan's hell that wants to take a bite out of me and devour me? People always want to get out of the system. They got to get the system of Satan out of them. They have to purge their own souls first. But we'll talk about that when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom after this brief break.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hishollychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hishollychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hishollychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Whoa, welcome back. So we're talking about the secrets of the universe here. This is actually a very complex thing, and I could sit here and talk all day and just get little aspects of it. But the reality is that the image that you're made in originally was a righteous image, but it gave you the right to choose. And if you choose to go according to your own knowledge, somebody, all they have to do is manipulate that knowledge, and they manipulate you. And they can get you to start thinking and acting in a certain way, and this creates quantum ripples in the universe that begin to slide you in the direction of this other world, this other realm, this kingdom of Satan. And it begins to remake you in a new image. But you still can make choices. You cannot save yourself, but you can make choices that will draw you in the other way, like the prodigal son who ends up serving the pig master and then decides to repent and go back and lets go of everything that he is deriving from the pig master and begins to seek a way of going back to his father's house and serving in his father's house. And he is saved by that process of going back because his father runs out to meet him. Not because he made it back and he earned his way and all this stuff, but because he was willing to return to that way. So what we need to know is, what's the difference between the ways of Satan that consumes, brings death and destruction and devours one another and subjugates you and puts you under authority and entangles you in bondage, and the ways of God, which sets you free in spirit and in truth? What is the difference? Now, I mentioned earlier, you're all altars of clay, and those altars of clay should be sacrificing their life so that they have life more abundant by giving to others round about them, a pattern we see throughout history. And you can see it in any culture or tribal culture or anything, that the guy who is, you know, comes to your defense, and the guy who shares his food and his table, you know, like the Eskimo, they all go out hunting, only one man brings back a seal. Everybody eats, because they share. And that's the sacrifice of the altar of clay. And it makes sense. It binds a local society together. But it's not kingdom. The citizens of Judea that had become Christian and were eating at the table of the Lord, which was set by free will offerings, as opposed to the table of Herod that was set through their system of Corban and forced civic offerings, making the word of God to none effect because it was done by force, which John the Baptist preached against, instead of by charity, which John the Baptist said we should do, and Jesus said we should do, and Paul said we should do. But the modern church doesn't do that. They go to the civic altars that operate by men who exercise authority one over the other, yet they call themselves Christians, followers of Christ. They cannot be. They're doing the opposite of what Christ said. That's a shocker. They're going like, oh my gosh, I'm doing the opposite of what Jesus said, yet I think I'm a follower of Jesus. Can't be. Impossible. Does not compute. Not reality. But you just have to turn around and go back the other way. You have to create, set a table to take care of the needy of your society in pure religion, not civic religion, like you're doing now, in a pure religion, where you care about one another as much as you care about yourself. But now, it's easy to do in a small, intimate congregation. Well, I say easy. Most people can't even do that. But those who can find that small, little, intimate congregation that they kind of like everybody and they get along and they help one another out and they say, ah, we have arrived. No. Where is your altar of stone? Where is your kingdom gathering and feast? Where is even though the kingdom of God is from generation to generation within each family, still it's not a kingdom. A family is not a whole kingdom. It's just represented. If they really love one another in their family and love one another in their congregation as much as they love themselves, if that really is a part of their character and spirit, they have to love the next generation, but actually they also have to love the next congregation as themselves. It would stand that if this is really the pattern in the bottom of their heart, that would have to be. That creates organization. Born of the Spirit, not top down from somebody giving authority over you. And see how this is corrupted every time. Is it you say the pastor is the captain of the team? No. The Holy Spirit is the captain of the team, and he dwelleth within each of you. If the Holy Spirit, if each of you is a temple of the Holy Spirit, if each of you have the Holy Spirit or access to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwelleth in you, then you have a congregation of 10 families with one pastor. Who has the quantum level of the Holy Spirit? The pastor or the congregation? Pastor is just a servant. He has a relationship with God. You supposedly have a relationship with God. He is to implement this. His chief job is not really to serve you, but help you serve the next congregation. You're on 10 families. You know what each other needs. You can help one another. His job is to connect you in a kingdom way to other families. So whereas you go out and work 3 hours of your day to help your neighbor, and maybe you stop after work every day to check on a widow, and you do all these things as best you can, and then you check with the other members of the congregation to see what they're doing, to make sure that you got all the help you need. This is what you do every week. This is what you do in church. You don't go there to sing. You go there to harmonize as a society. And the minister may be an orchestra leader in the sense that he says, you know, I was checking on this widow. Nobody stopped by Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. She was getting really hungry. Nobody brought her any food. She'd been laying on the floor because she fell down, and her medic alert didn't get one because that would be required that she get that from Social Security. And she doesn't have that. We're taking care of her. And so somebody neglected her. And they all say, well, let's get together and make sure she's taken care of. Or you could say, like most of the people I've seen who want to come around, they say, what is the widows and orphans to me? So the reality is you have to care, because if you want God to care about you, if you want God to hear you, you have to care about others. Now, I'm not saying care about every lazy bum who doesn't want to work and just wants to sit on welfare. I'm talking about people who are seeking the righteousness of God, who will show up if somebody takes one of your children and puts them in a mental hospital. Now, I can start naming people this has happened to. Had some sort of medical episode. Ended up saying, oh, well, we think that they have an anxiety issue, and they started putting them on medication. Some of the people got out of it and didn't keep taking it, but other people were sucked in until they were lobotomized by these chemicals, and now they are totally mentally instituted with no oversight, no recourse for the parents, and everybody's going to church because nobody showed up. If that happens to somebody in our network, I pray to God thousands of phone calls will sweep in on that hospital and they'll let that person go now. Hundreds of people will show up at the hospital with picket signs, let them out. Not 10 people saying, let Justina go. Even with Glenn Beck and major media backing, that's all you get? This society they could start rounding us up right now and shipping us off into concentration camps. You're not going to do anything. Most of you will not do anything. Or maybe some of the people listening on this show might, but most of the people out there, that's none of their business. Because you've aligned yourself with the wrong spirit. And you're being sucked into the ways of hell. How do you get back? Altars of stone. Not rulers, not captains. Men who are really charitable, men who want to help people, want to dedicate their life to helping people, you need to gather together and support them and form a network. When the body begins to form in the womb, cells begin to divide and create more cells. And somehow or other, from that one little tiny cell and little sperm cell, they know, let's make a liver today. Let's make a kidney. They know. It's built into the system. Organization. Natural structure. Built into the system. It designs itself based on that DNA implant. And it makes fingers and fingernails and bones and lungs on a schedule. This is why Ezekiel talks about dry bones on the desert. Can they live? Structure, organization, and a unique characteristic you will not find in hell. One thing the devil never does. He does not cast his bread upon the waters. He does not give a random acts of charity to bless people. Maybe to seduce them into signing some sort of a contract with him where he can exercise authority over you, which is prevalent throughout the world today. But you have to form those altars of stone. Look, the same words in the Hebrew for a gathering of stones is a gathering of friends. And you bless them with your offering. If you see, if you give to this person, they go, oh, I really appreciate it. And you get that benefit, see? You get that, you know, it's like Christmas when I was a kid. What do you say to Grandma? Thank you, Grandma. Oh, they feel so good. What about giving gifts secretly? But not just randomly giving gifts, but really giving them where they bless the person and strengthen the person. And get that person to give too, so that they learn that characteristic of Satan hates a giver, a free will giver. He likes obedience. Do it because I said so. But God giveth life of himself. You must. If you want the character of God, you must do that. If you want God to hear you, if you want to hear God, you have to start doing that. Not just on people that you know and you touch and you have this relationship, but people far off, casting that bread upon the waters. The word altar in the Hebrew language is the word misspeech. And so what's misspeech mean? What am I talking about here? This misspeech. It's this idea of, well, it's actually composed of more than three letters, so it's more than just the one word. There's a letter in the word altars, misspeech, which is the mem, which is always related to flowing. And this is what it is. You have to give as a matter of flow. Your blood flows. So in the body of Christ, isn't there a flowing there? What is your blood doing? It's carrying food and oxygen to all the cells of your body. The cells that are way away from the stomach, way away from the heart, they have a way, a system, a way to get that blood and that food and that oxygen to every single cell in your body. And all the workers are doing this, zipping along, giving it flow on a regular basis. To keep the whole body alive. If one part of your body dies, you could get an infection and blood poisoning and die. You know, a part of your body dies, they want to cut it off. And it's the same way in the kingdom of God. Structure, patterns, health and sickness. The other words, the other letters, the Zebek is Zion, Biet, Chet, the letters. Zion. Actually, they refer to it two things. Two meanings are connected to the Zion. The woman of valor, you know, in the Proverbs, more precious than a ruby. You know, the one who conducts service all the time. But it has another idea that is connected to it. Cut off. It's freely given service. I give it and expect nothing in return. If I go to a widow's house and I bring her food and everything, she's going to be all appreciative and she's going to praise me and she's going to think well of me and all this kind of stuff. But what if I give it to a minister and he goes and gives it and he never tells where he got it from? He's still carrying with it the wisdom of God because I picked my minister carefully. Not like some of you guys pick doctors or lawyers or certainly not the way you pick politicians. You cut off that sacrifice from you. You've disconnected from it. You freely give it. It's a burnt offering on this living altar. And he takes it and gives it out. She knows he didn't. He's bringing what somebody else brought. And they may appreciate him. And he'll have to deal with the temptation of being vain. But she knows that somebody else gave it to him. But she doesn't know who. So, Zion, first letter. Second letter, be it. It's equated with two ideas also. First is the word purpose. But the second part of the word is God's dwelling place. That's what a be-it is. It's his house. Now, Satan has a dwelling place too, so he has a be-it. But, so you cut off your gift by giving it to God. And remember, the first letter was mem, which is, it has to flow on a regular basis. And the last letter is the chet, which has the meaning of life dynamic. Run and return. You cast your bread upon the waters in hopes that it may come back to you. Equated with the chet is the concept of two levels of life. The essential life and life of to enliven others. Your life to enliven others. So anyway, that's the word altar. It's not just a pile of stones. If you change one letter of that word, you get other words like zabat, means to endow, to give a gift. Ratzach, which is the resh, zion, the chet, it means thou shalt not kill. This is where that word comes from. There's other words, and we could go through all of them, but I don't want to start getting you all confused and everything. It's very simple that you have to put on the character of God until it becomes a part of you, because you're going to find yourself becoming impatient and angry and selfish, and then you need to repent of that on a day-by-day, individual basis. So, yes, the kingdom of God is organized. People say, well, organizations always become corrupt. Well, it's because, why? It's because the elders of a congregation are not doing their job. Why did Israel become corrupt? Where did there was always some sin around and problems around and bickering around, but they were invincible. They were doing great. They were a model of nations. No king, no forced taxation. Everybody living at liberty for years, for centuries. And then they became corrupted. Voice of the people elected a man who could exercise authority. Why? Because they didn't want to deal with the injustice. They knew there was injustice. They knew there was corruption. They knew there was bribes. But they don't want to show up for the demonstration like they do now. Where does that take you? That takes you more and more to that place. So you get people like Justina being tortured live on TV, and you don't show up. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people in Massachusetts and Boston. 50 people show up. Actually, 10 the first time. What the heck? Who's going to show up for you? You've shown up for nobody. Oh, you helped a few people locally. When Jerusalem was overwhelmed by Titus's army, the Christians were allowed to leave the days before. Divinely, powers intervened and they opened the gates and they let them leave. They had to leave everything behind. All their money, all their food, all their riches, all their wealth, all their clothes, all their property. They had to leave it behind. They could go out with nothing but the clothes on their back. And yet they survived. They actually left singing. Why? Because they had a place to go. Because they had been sacrificing on the living altars of God. For 30 years, since the days of Christ, because that's what he taught them how to do. And they had revelations ahead of time. They knew when things were coming, because they had poked holes in the membrane to heaven, and God was communing with them. He could hear their cries, and they could hear his wisdom. But if you follow after the organization of Satan and the ways of Satan, you're going to get what you got now, where you can't even see destruction coming, although many of you are beginning to see that, but you don't know what to do about it. You need to form congregations of record and go online to, I'm not talking internet, but go on record is we're going to care about these people, and this minister is going to connect with these people and these, because you're organized. The blood will flow this way through the veins, and it will go this way through the arteries. And we will each of us be responsible as for one man and for another. If you don't do it that way, you will find each other in hard times taking a bite out of one another. Right now, in good times, they're taking a bite out of one another. They're cursing their children with debt because they keep taking from these benefactors who exercise authority, who have been bankrupt for years, and push their children farther and farther into debt. So there is structure in the body of Christ, just like there's structure in your body. And it can only be uncorruptible if you put on the full armor of God. And we haven't been doing that. We haven't been caring about one another. We haven't been taking care of one another. We can show you, ways to put splints and crutches on until you learn to walk and then learn to run in the ways of the kingdom. But you should be, I should talk about, I got a few minutes, Reiki healing. Somebody was complaining on our network that some of the people in our network actually do this Reiki or Reiki healing in the Japanese. Wouldn't dare try to pronounce it in Japanese, but basically it's a lot like laying on of hands. It's spiritual healing. And it could work. And it could do good. And it could do bad. Because spiritual healing requires spirit. So you have to ask yourself, what spirit is healing me? What spirit am I calling on? People ran up and just touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and he felt the virtue go out of him and go into her and heal her. He didn't even have to lay his hands. She was sneaking up from behind. But she was receptive to the spirit that he offered to heal with. Now, there were other healers around that could probably heal too, but they couldn't give the healing power of Christ because they are part of the other realm. They weren't completely in the character of Christ, which is the character of righteousness, which is the character of heaven, which is the character of God. And that's the spirit you want to call on. I've seen touching somebody who deathly ill, close to death's door, about to be rushed to the hospital, can't stand, in convulsions. Touch them, a few minutes later they're up and they're walking. They go to work the next day. How can that be? Was that Reiki? Nobody even knew the word Reiki then, but they knew the spirit. So you have to, don't be ruled by names. That's another thing that Satan does, rules you by words. You want to be ruled by the spirit of righteousness. You want to be giving life, freely giving life to others. And that's what the altars are for. You give your life and you create structure in righteousness, but it requires every elder to be awake and on the guard and never pick a minister like you've been picking doctors, lawyers, and politicians. Never be giving them the power of Saul, the power of Cain, the power of Nimrod. You retain the choice, but you empower somebody to do the service of God and connect you wholly and completely with all the other people around the world that are hearing the message of the gospel, which is that we must learn to live by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty, or we will not be at liberty. But until next time, all I can do is wish you peace upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.